session number 16726, Mr. H. Bell, Reel 1.
Mr. Bell, Reel 1. Where and when were you born, Mr. Bell?
Born in Gateshead, the 25th of August, 1915. In Gateshead.
Gateshead, of course, quite a big place.
Deckham. The outskirts of Gateshead, actually. It was like being in the country, actually. There was a farm at the top of the street, and allotments, and nothing else between there and Felling, just fields. So it was, I was like sort of living in the country.
So was this kind of a suburb of Gateshead?
The district of Gateshead, not a suburb, a district of Gateshead, yeah. At the top of, halfway up Sheriff Hill, more or less.
What did your father do?
Father was a timekeeper at Aleutians Chemical Works. He was disabled in the last war, the first war, and in the Sergeant Major, he was friendly with a lot of officers, and a lot of officers, there were senior officials in Aleutians, and they got him this timekeeping job because he goes back, he was hit in the ankle and he couldn't get about very well.
Which regiment was he in, First World War?
The 9th Battalion, Durham.
So there's a family connection with that?
Oh, it was very, very much so, yes. He was Sergeant Major.
What family did you have?
By the way, he ran away from home. He was quite a good family in Newcastle, and he was the youngest, and when the parents died, there was a lot of family trouble, and he ran away, and he joined the Black Watch when he was 16. And he served in the Black Watch. He was in India and in South Africa. He was in the South African War. And, of course, when he came back home, he went into the TA.
What family did he have? Brothers, sisters?
My father. I can't tell you exactly. I can't tell you.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had, yes. Three brothers and one sister.
And where were you in the order of...?
I was the youngest. There was a younger child born, but he died. He died of... what it was, there was something I brought in from school and he got it and he died and I didn't.
Did your mother work?
No. She didn't have done anything. She had a very hard time. My father was disabled. He had a very bad shrapnel wound in the ankle, and he was in hospital. I remember going up to hospital to see him with my mother. I remember going to the co-op and buying plucked tobacco and black bullets. I remember particularly. I remember how busy the stores used to be in those days, and so on. We used to go up and visit them and take the black bullets and the tobacco up to him. Where we were at. What was the question again?
We were talking about the hard times, really.
Yes. Well, he was in hospital and unable to work for a year or two. And my mother had five of us to look after on an army pension. You know, not easy at all, but she was a marvellous. My mother was a 5'2" Scotswoman, fisher folk. She was hard as nails, tough as an old boot. She lived till she was 92 and was still tough at 92. She was marvellous woman, my mother. She brought us up well. I thank her for everything because she did bring a good family up on her own. My father left it too. She ran the house. He didn't interfere. My father never lifted a hand to any of us, but my mother did.
She was the disciplinarian?
Yes. She was tough. She was brought up as a disciplinarian. She was a Fisher family, very religious. The pack of cards was the devil's Bible. And on a Sunday, she wasn't allowed to knit anything except sea stockings. No fancy stuff, no fruit. There wasn't a book allowed in the house. And I remember on Sunday, I used to go to the kirk, and they used to walk along the middle of the street, the father leading and all the family behind, you know. Marvellous thing. I wish I was able to talk to. She had a marvelous memory, and she had so many interesting things to share. She was tough, and she could look after herself.
What were the lessons that she taught you as a child?
Honesty, for one thing. I would get a bigger hiding for telling a lie than for doing anything. Dare tell a lie. No lies. She brought this up as a family, and we did as we were told. We didn't answer back. She wouldn't stand it. No answering back. You did as you were told. But she was a marvellous mother.
You've said basically she had a rough time, obviously, during the war when your father was wounded. Mm. When your father started work, what was his income like? Was it sufficient for the family?
Well, he had a pension. He had an army pension. And I suppose it was a timekeeper. A timekeeper was a step above a working man. I think, I'm not quite certain about that, but I think a timekeeper was a step, he was an official. And I would imagine that it was a step above.
Great number of families at that time and period had their own gardens to supplement the food situation.
He had an allotment, yeah. As best he could. He had a bad foot, but he did have allotment.
And that would help the situation in the home.
I don't think it lasted very long, but I know he did have one. Hens. Oh, yes. Deckham Terrace we lived in. And it was an old terrace house, nice houses they were, self-contained, and a great big long back garden. And at the top, there was the hen house, wasn't there? My brother was a joiner, and it was a beautifully constructed hen house with the help of Aleutians. and the hens all had names, and they were the pride of the family. It was heartbreaking when I had to kill one. I have a snapshot actually of them with the hens. My mother persuaded me to do this with him being crippled and so on at the time, to take his mind off things. But she did most of the work.
You said that the house was a terraced house. Was it a large? How many rooms had it?
Three bedrooms and an attic.
Which was quite adequate for the size of family that you had.
Yes.
Did the company own the house? Or was
No. It was a rented house. Don't ask me what the rent was. I don't know.
The community, the actual community that you lived in around yourself, closely knit community?
Nice community. Respectable. There were no bad families in the street at all. They were quite respectable, you know. One, two, three, four of them, their grandma had quite good jobs. Dress jobs, you know, not overall jobs. There was a railway driver at the top of the terrace. Oh, there was a miner lived next door, but he was a coal cutting operator. It was quite good money, you know, for a miner. He operated a coal cutter.
Communities then tended to be very supportive of each other. Did this occur in your own situation?
Within certain families, yes. Not all. Certain families, but let's say all friendly. Never any disturbances, nothing like that. Very different from today. Very different.
As you were growing up, what kind of activities as a small boy were you getting into and doing?
All sorts of games. Kick the block, Mother Kitty, cricket, football. All sorts of games that kept us occupied all the time. The days weren't long enough. The days just weren't long enough, and we had a good crowd of lads, and we had a great time. Very happy childhood. Very happy.
Did you get involved in the church, the local church itself?
No, I was. I went to St. George's Church. And I can't think of the name. When I was 16, I confirmed. That's it. I was confirmed when I was six. I think I was about 16 when I was confirmed. Round about that. I was a must in the family. We all went to church. All went to Sunday school, which is a good thing. It's a pity they don't do it now. You know, I had a lot of pleasurable moments in Sunday school. The teachers were nice. And you know.
Boy Scouts, Church Lads Brigade, did you
get involved? I attempted the Boys Brigade for about a year and then packed in. I didn't enjoy it.
What was the difficulty? Hmm? What was it that you didn't enjoy about the brigade?
I don't know. You like some things, you like some, you don't. And yeah, I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't look forward to going there, and that was it. Yeah.
Had you to buy your own uniform for the time that you were there?
You had to buy in the Boys' Brigade. Then it was only the fore and aft cap, and the belt, and the a bandier with a satchel. That was it.
Was there any part that you did like, for example, the parades and the drums or whatever that was going that you had from time to time?
Not particularly, no. It's not one of my. Looking back, it's not one of my memories. Didn't stand out.
Where did you start school?
Shipcote School, and I did very well. I had a very happy time in the infant school. The teachers were wonderful then. They were really good, and it was a good school. And I look back at my infant school with pleasure. Miss Nicholas was the headmistress. Mrs. Arthur, and they were wonderful. They were wonderful teachers. They were like mothers. Very, very good. I went on to the next step, the Shipcote Senior School. I did too well there. It was a mistake, really. I was in the X7, which was the top form, when I was 15. When I was 11, I was in the top form of the school. And I sat for the secondary school then, which was a grammar school, actually, a secondary school. I sat the exam and I went to the secondary school when I was 11, at the secondary school.
What school was that? Do you remember the name?
GSS, Gateshead Secondary School. Main uniform being the cap. Most of us were just working people, and there was no, we didn't buy uniforms, and most of us just wore the cap with GSS on. A very good school. Excellent. All the masters were gowned, cap and gowned. Every one of them was cap and gowned, and they wore them. And it was one of the best buildings in Gateshead, and it's a shame they pulled it down. It was built in a square with a quadrangle. Rather like a college. Beautiful, beautiful little school it was. And of course the Labour Council decided to pull it down in their wisdom. But I got a first class education, which I've blessed them for all my life. It isn't what to teach you, it's what you make of it. I've only been able to hold my own right through. And my father went there, actually. And my son went there, and he's the same. He loved the school.
What was your favourite subject? What did you shine at?
English. I've always found that there are two parts to a school, to a scholar, and that is, if you're good at English, you're very, really good at mathematics. The arts and the maths. You're very, very good at it. Well, I was on the arts and English. I hold my own at maths, but I didn't enjoy it. That's the science either. But I was very good at English.
What was the discipline like in the school?
Strict. Never any trouble. Yes, there was. Me.
And this was accepted by
me.
Parents as well as children who went, presumably.
Yes. Parents were in touch. At the morning gathering, I blew some sneezing powder in the air. And I got found out. And I got hammered. 6 of the best in my hands. That was the only time. I don't know why I did it. I did it and that's it.
Is there any one teacher in your memory who helped you in your afterlife, who you look back with?
Not partly. No. They were just all good teachers. They were foggy courts. Names and that. Some of them now. There were two of them who were good teachers. But if it had been bad class, it would have been unable to maintain discipline. They had no authority. You know, people scoffed them and joked about them. Not to their faces, but the rest were all first class, really good, and maintained discipline. Marvellous shots with choke. Marvellous. Yes, they were good masters. I met when I was 15 years ago, I was walking along Low Fell, and I saw this old white-haired fella bent, stooped and struggling along, and it was one of my old teachers, Snowy White. One of my old teachers he was. I was so pleased to meet him.
Was there much bullying at school?
No, none, no. It was a mixed school. It was girls and boys. No. I never, and I mean, I wasn't the sort of a big, strong lad. I was rather on the thin side of it. In all my school days, I never came across any bullying. Never. There was never any bullying. No.
Did you have examinations to sit?
Oh, yes.
End of year test, this kind of thing. How did you go on with those?
Medium. It was a blow to me near the end. My father, as I told you, was very friendly with the upper notch of the alveolations, which was quite a big chemical works. It's gone now. And I had a job open for me in the labs. I told him, I was going to tell him, this job was there for me when I wanted it. If not, he also had a, and I would have been at sea with the Prince leg, and I was an apprentice officer, a cadet. Unfortunately, the way things went, the Prince line, the ships got laid up, and Aleutians folded up. It finished me off. I lost heart. And when I was 16, I would have had to stay on a few months longer to take the exam, and like a fool, I didn't. I left. So I was about a year without a job. 1931, the slump. 1931.
I was just going to ask you, you know, how the family had got through the hard times of the 20s and 30s.
Well, they got through all right. As I say, my father had a steady job and a pension. It was all right. But round about, and I told you, Deckham Terrace was on the fringe of the town, and at the bottom of the street there had been a colliery at one time, a pit head. There were just two or three standing stones left. They had been pulled down. A little girl got crushed with a stone falling, and they pulled the whole place down. But they left these standing stones, and there was a big open space which, for some reason, was unfit for building on. It was roped off once a year to protect the privacy, I suppose. And during the strike, 1926 strike, everybody was out there digging for pieces of coal. There was big 6-foot holes all over the place, and the police came and stopped it, closed it all up. But it was a hive of activity. A hive of activity it was.
But your father's job was retained, right?
Oh, yes. His job was safe, yes. My friend.
Sport, as a young boy and teenager, did you get involved in sport?
Not in a large way. On this spare ground, which I told you, which was originally the pit head, always football and cricket. Football and cricket, definitely. And we'll forget the games, they were there. But as far as sport, yes, I took part. Now, shall we go on? Because when I was 16, when I was nearly 17, I had a bicycle. And I joined Gateshead Cycling Club. And I remained in Gateshead Cycling Club. Finished up with a tandem with the wife. And really, partly until I went into the army. A marvellous cycling club. Very happy days. Great fellas. Never any disagreement. And a marvellous time. I can still see sailing. We used to do, 100, 120 mile a day, you know, and very little traffic on the roads in those days. Cycling club was a marvellous experience. And we got all over the place and we did overnight runs. And it was one of the highlights of my life, and I look back with real pleasure on it. I still meet one of the fellas. He was the youngest. He was the youngest of the club, and I still meet him now at Bowles.
Again, in your teens, it's the time when girls come into your life. What was happening on the girl front?
One girl. When I was 18, I met her at a cycling club dance. I chased her around. She said I was a bloody nuisance. I followed her all over the place. I made a fool of myself looking back. But that was it. And now she's only been the only girl in my life.
This is your wife now.
60 years.
You left school at 16 and you said you were on the dole for a while. How difficult was that period in your life?
My mother, I've told you what she was like. Evening Chronicle, every night, every possible job was booked. And I didn't get out until I had written a letter after every job. And it took me a year. It took me a year to get a job. And then I was in a shop.
Did you get any remuneration because you were, in effect, on the dole at that time? Or at least you weren't. You were unemployed.
Nothing in those days. You just signed on, that was all. Just signed on. You got nothing, no. My mother had to keep me.
Some people I've talked to went to a dole school or something whilst they were in that situation. You didn't come into that?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I know of it. It was at the end of Elysium Lane. I had my hair cut in the army by somebody who was taught hairdressing there. I started, shall we go on to the job, right? It was an old established grocer's in Nun Street in Newcastle called Muse and Company with marvellous elderly staff who were helpful, and I was taught grocery fully. I was taught how to judge bacon, how to look after bacon, how to judge cheese. And I was taught the grocery line. And I remember it to this day. I can still pick. Well, I can't pick good bacon because there isn't any to be had. You can't get good bacon now. It's impossible. I've hunted high and low, and there isn't any. But I was taught. I had a marvellous time there. Jack Muse was the son, and he was the boss, the manager of the shop. And they couldn't have been more helpful. They couldn't have been more nice. I was like one of a family, and that went on. I was there about 3 years, two and a half years. And he came to me one day and he said, "Harry, get out." He says, "This grocery trade's finished." Their grocery trade was white coat, big apron with a fringe at the bottom, you know. A customer was a valued person, you know. Every customer was treated with respect. And it was good, and I've always remembered it. And it's one of the happy periods of my life. Was there? It was such a nice job. Wasn't overpaid, but it was a nice job.
Do you remember your pay? Do you remember what your first pay was?
No.
What hours did you work? What hours did you work?
Oh, that was the worst part. From 9 until 6. On the Monday, 7 on a Tuesday, 1 on a Wednesday, 8 on a Thursday, 9 on a Friday, and 9 on a Saturday. Long hours. But it was so pleasant being there. Everybody mucked in, you know, and you didn't really know. Everybody was in the same boat, so you didn't really notice it. In those days, the old shop work was the same. Going from there to, I wasn't long getting another job.
What period of time would this be? How long had you been in the grocery trade when you moved?
About 2 years, I think. About 2 years. As he had told me to get out of it, I did. And I was hard the next time. I got a job by Young's, Studland Auctioneers. They took a shop in the High Street in Gateshead. It was a second-hand furniture shop, but still new. And I was supposed to be being taught the trade, which I was to a certain extent. But I was also made use of. It wasn't one of the happiest times of my life. And I was finished after 6 months. Apparently, they didn't tell me. They had only taken the lease for 6 months on a trial basis. And they folded up and went back to Sunderland and left me in a lurch again, you see, without a job again. I can't tell you wages. I'm sorry about that. I just haven't got a clue. I think it was about 30 shilling a week at the grocer's. I think so, round about that. And I got a job with the Priory Furnishers. It was a Whitley Bay firm called Bainbridge's at the bottom of Pilgrim Street. Quite a classy shop it was, as a furniture salesman. And quite a pleasant time there, but they folded up. I don't know how I brought bad luck on them. Everywhere I went, folded up. And of course, I got experience there as a salesman. I was doing quite well, and that folded up. So I got a job then for Donald Young. Donald Young, no. James and Company. James and Company of Newcastle. James, of course, is Jacobs. And I was there until the war started, doing quite well. And but I'd been running a branch shop for about 6 months as manager. And then the war broke out.
Did you in the beginning, certainly, but for whatever length of time, did you hand all of your pay over to your mother? Your
yes.
And get your pocket.
Till I was 21. Till I was 21, and I was summoned to the boss and told, right, you're on, I want £1 a week off you and the rest yours. I was it. As soon as I was 21, I was turfed out.
In those later years leading up to the beginning of the war, were there signs that you could see that war was coming or things were getting desperate?
No. I did a very silly thing when I was unemployed. I was at the Employment Exchange and outside the black shirts were holding a meeting, Mosley's lot were holding a meeting. You don't know why you do things at that age, you know. You don't know why. I got a membership form, and I came back home and I filled it in, and I didn't have a stamp, so I left it on the mantelpiece, so I get a stamp the next day to send it off. And when I came in, it had gone. My father had said, "Have you seen the envelope?" "Yes," he says, "it's in the fire." No more was said on that, you know. Why, you don't know why you do these things, you know. Edwin Mosley, what on earth did I see in Mosley's lot?
You didn't have enough knowledge to know what they were about.
Not really, no. No, I don't think at that age that you're really concerned with.
How old were you then?
17 possibly, around about that. I had a guess. No more said on that subject, in the fire.
An impressionable age.
Yes.